From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of April, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Along the way, we'll check the ag news for the day, and we'll hear all about the weather forecast for the United States and large part of Europe that's been suffering through dry conditions, especially in the winter wheat areas. That with Mike Tenorum. He's from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, and it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago for this Thursday, May corn finished 7 higher today at $3.115. The July at 3.20 up 5.5, and December corn at 3.37 1/4, 3 3/4 higher. May beans at 8.50 1/4 up 18.5 cents. July 17 3/4 higher at 8.55 1/4. November beans at 8.57 3/4, 13.5 cents higher. Bean oil up 45 cents, and the bean meal up $6.40. July soft red winter wheat 7 3/4 higher at 5.24 1/4. Quarter in the hard red July at 488, 11 cents higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago, June 85.95, $1.67.5 higher. The May contract at 117.10, and the feeders at $1.45 lower. And lean hogs were up 285 in the May at $59.12.5, that for 100 pounds. The crude oil about $1.73 higher per barrel, and the ethanol up 5 1/10 cents. Heating oil 3 2/10 higher. And gasoline on the RBOB at 68.9 cents per gallon, around 3 6/10 higher for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 385 points or thereabouts. The U.S. dollar down 0.564. And the gold futures $17.90 lower as we begin our discussions this afternoon with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
It was a good day in Chicago for the grain markets. I suppose this was good for the tech side of the market as well.
Yeah, it does. Finishing out the month on a strong note, I think, is generally positive. I mean, we're still closing lower for the month. And unfortunately, now, I don't know, we'll see what happens tomorrow and the first part of next week, but I'd just soon have us, you know, be finishing out the month at the bottom end of the trading range and then make a little lower low in the new month and then reverse, and then we get a good monthly reversal going. But that's not going to be the case, at least this time around. But I do think, you know, like I've been talking to you for some time, that I kind of thought this last half of April we could maybe get this thing turned, and then we could maybe, you know, get some kind of rally going into May that maybe could carry on into a seasonal rally into June. Export demand was extremely good here this morning. I suppose that's the bright spot. We still going to struggle over on the livestock side of the equation. We're going to struggle on the ethanol side of the equation, but at least for now, export demand seems to be quite active, and that's going to help us out. But I think today is a decent sign that, you know, maybe the late spring low is kind of in place here, and now we're going to kind of take 1 week at a time and see how planting wraps up, how crop conditions look as of about May 20th, and then they'll kind of decide whether or not we're good to go for a June-July rally, or we just kind of track sideways. But we still got a lot of crop to plant. A lot of crop did get planted, and we got a long ways to go on the growing season. You know, my cyclical work all along has indicated that we would have some kind of selling opportunities as we moved into the growing season. And I guess I haven't, there's nothing that really changes my mind on that, at least from the cyclical work. Now, a short term here, an intermediate high, if we did get this thing turned, the month of May kind of looks to be up to me. It looks like maybe we could stretch it, you know, on into the first week of June or so. Depending upon what the price levels are at that point in time, that might be an opportunity to put some downside price protection in place. Yeah, because I'm a little nervous what that June 30th report might say. So kind of any kind of rally going into the middle part of June, I guess I would use that as an opportunity to protect downside price risk. June rally, who knows? I mean, that June report, we really haven't had a bullish USA report for some time. Maybe we're due for a string of bullish reports, but it doesn't look like June's going to be it anyway. And then it'll be July weather, and everybody will be studying the crop rating levels and all that stuff, which is a poor man's way of judging the crop, but that's the way the trade does it.
So the Chinese appear to be in the marketplace for at least 5 cargoes today for August to September shipment. That would put them in the old crop for soybeans. That's good for the bean market. And wheat futures have rallied some just on ideas that it's dry in parts of the hard red winter wheat belt in the United States, and certainly in Europe and parts of Ukraine and Russia as well. We've talked about that a long time on our weather segments here for the closing market report. Can these two lead corn higher, even if at the end of the month of June that plantings report or acreage report shows something like a 97 million acre corn number?
It's always hard for corn to lead. Historically, the two commodities that always lead the rally is wheat because it's a food grain, and soybeans is because it's an oilseed protein. Corn has always been more of a feed grain that goes in the livestock. Now, corn did lead the rallies in the double O's when it kind of became the energy commodity, when the Renewable Fuels Act took hold and we started seeing demand from ethanol plants pop up all over the Corn Belt. So corn kind of led the rally there. But historically, corn is not a leader. You have to get the leadership from soybeans or wheat. That's not to say that we can't get a corn rally to go, but if you're talking about those higher end numbers, we're going to have more corn around than what we know what we're going to do with. So it's going to be real difficult, I think, to get that corn market to rally without weather issues. And I think we're still vulnerable for weather issues. As you know, I'm a sunspot follower, and the sunspots are basically dead. So I don't think the cold weather is over with yet. And I think we could have a lot of several cold shots of air come down here between now and fall. So I still think cold weather is still an element of risk to the crop. And maybe that might come in to play somewhere along the line and give us a boost. It's going to be real hard to get the corn market to rally. I mean, it's going to be hard to get anything to be sustainable. The question is how far back can we go, and can we come back to a point that if we have a good yield, anybody can make any money at it. And, you know, the name of the game this year is try to yield yourself out of the low prices, because I don't think the market's going to give you very good high prices. So you're going to have to go for the yield. You're going to have to go for the bushels. And then whatever subsidy we get, whatever that is, and hopefully you add those two together and everybody can farm another year again. If we have a big crop, we're going to be talking about supply management next winter. conservation acreage reserve, set asides, all that kind of stuff. What goes around comes around, and I know everybody's going to pull the hair out, but we can't let our inventories start building up to 2.5 to 3 billion bushels with the corn and get soybean inventories up toward a billion bushels. That ain't going to work. That'll keep prices depressed forever. So we're going to have to, if Mother Nature doesn't bail us out with a smaller crop, we're going to have to shorten the crop up through acreage reduction, supply reduction, or otherwise we're going to end up like an oil market, no place to put it. That is not a nice atmosphere to be in. So we'll just have to go from there. But, you know, we got a lot of supply around, and if we have a big crop, we're going to have too much supply around. It just reminds me that we're going back into the mid-80s with just too much supply around, and we're going to have to talk about different types of farm policy as we go forward. And I know agribusiness is going to scream as loud as they can scream, because they want to sell seed, they want to sell fertilizer, they want to sell equipment, but there's no need in pushing our inventories up to levels that we saw back prior to 1970. So it'll be interesting times, but I do think the farmers that know how to raise the big crop, the farmers that know how to take advantage of good rallies, I think they can manage their sows to the point where they can do a pretty good job in here.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. You know, while you're on that website at willag.org, if you scroll far enough down, you'll find the FarmDoc Daily Live webinar series. You can go back and review the 13 that we have done already. We'll have another one tomorrow morning. That'll be the 14th edition of these special webinars that include members of the FarmDoc Daily team, the Ag Economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois, and others that make a difference in their particular world of expertise. They've been really well attended, some 350 on average. More than 2,000 people have signed up, and you can listen to and read and watch them if you'd like on our website, willag.org. But if you want to join us for future events, you need to get yourself registered, and you can do that easily enough as well. go.illinois.edu/FDDLive is the place to register. There is a link at willag.org, but if you want to do this directly, just go.illinois.edu/FDDLive, and you can get yourself registered for the FarmDoc Daily Live Coronavirus and Ag Webinar Series. On this Thursday afternoon, let's check in with Mike Tenor to see what the weather forecast is like. Hey, Mike, thanks so much. How are things there at T-Storm Weather in Chicago?
Oh, we're doing just fine. Just kind of waiting for this whole situation to be over so we can get outside and enjoy some of the nicer weather when it comes back.
Now, speaking of nicer weather, farmers would like nicer weather across a good portion of the Midwest, or let's maybe say in Illinois particularly. Can you tell me about the storm that went through yesterday?
Well, that was an interesting system because it approached 2 days ago and dumped some rain and thunderstorms on the state. And then as it exited, it only moved very slowly and parallel to the state. And so that caused this area of rain to last 24 to 36 consecutive hours from basically right around Champaign straight north through the Chicago area and then into southeast Wisconsin. a lot of these areas have seen well more than 3 inches of rain over the last week. So here we are with another wet spring in the state of Illinois. The big difference, though, between the setup now and what it looked like a year ago is that the wetness story is basically centered on Illinois and includes small parts of Missouri. It does not include most other areas. You can head to the immediate west into Iowa, Minnesota, Dakotas, and the Nebraska. Those areas have been way drier than normal over the last 30 to 45 days. So this is a little more typical of what happens in a spring. Some areas end up dry, some areas end up wet. And this year, once again, Illinois is the wet state.
So where are the dry places?
Well, like we said, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, Nebraska, even big chunks of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Colorado were much drier than normal. And the reason that's important is because we need some rain on the hard red winter wheat crop. The coverage of 30-day dryness on that crop is the highest in more than 6 years, including 70% of U.S. production. Now, you might say to yourself, well, I didn't think wheat was really that much of a story because there was a lot of rain last week from everything that people were talking about. And that certainly was the case for parts of Kansas and Oklahoma. But if you look at the state as a whole and you look at where all the wheat is produced, you'll notice that most of the rain fell in the eastern parts of those states. And that's only a fringe production area. Most of the wheat is grown in central and western Kansas, and that's where it didn't rain very much. It also didn't rain much in Texas or Colorado or even southern Nebraska. And that's encompassing a lot of wheat. And even though some rain is on the way Saturday, maybe Monday and Tuesday, and then possibly about a week from today, these rain amounts don't look all that big. Now, all of a sudden, we're looking at the middle of May, and it's pretty dry in this crop. And typically, that's when you start to have concerns.
In the northern hemisphere, the United States plays a role in the wheat export market, but really it's all about the European continent. We've been discussing the dry conditions there. What's your assessment?
Well, it's still very dry across the European Union, Russia, and Ukraine, and that's where most of the world's wheat comes from. So it's a very important region, and it's unusual to see the coverage of dryness affecting all of those regions, because Europe in itself is a big landmass. Ukraine is fairly big, and Russia is further to the east. So for this whole area to be affected by the same thing is unusual, kind of like what happened here last year. Last year, the whole Corn Belt was wet, which was unusual because usually you see some dry areas and some wet areas mixed in. Well, that whole area is pretty dry. We've seen some showers over the last 1 to 2 days in parts of Europe, but it still hasn't rained very much in Ukraine. That will change a little bit as we move forward through early next week as the system moves across Europe and then affects parts of Ukraine. So there will be some rain between now and, say, Monday. Russia, though, stays pretty dry, and that's where it's been very dry as well, especially in the southern areas, which is more where most of that wheat is exported out via the Black Sea. Now, they're going to see some rain, too, but not for about 5 to 10 days. There could be some decent amounts across all of these areas, anywhere from a half of an inch on the low side to 1.5 inches on the high side. But it's rained so little over the last 45 to 60 days that this rain basically only starts to get you to catch up from where you were, and it doesn't really put you in the surplus category because you need more rains to follow. Well, there could be a few more rains here and there, but the setup is very complex, and just because of that alone, we tend to think that some areas are going to benefit, some areas are going to miss out. So kind of a mixed bag in the European Union, Russia, and Ukraine, not looking too ideal in the U.S. at the moment. So all of this tells you that wheat is kind of the main story in the agricultural commodity world right now.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Now let's talk about the cash grain market with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net. He's in Windsor. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So when we talked last week, you were about to finish up. Did you get everything done? And is the corn spiked through, or at least the early stuff?
Yeah, so last week when we talked, you know, I needed a couple more easy days, I guess, to finish corn. We backed out of it because we saw what was coming in the forecast, which ended up verifying. So I was fortunate as compared to some folks, I think, up in your territory over towards Bloomington. I mean, in total, I've had 4 inches or less. I know some folks are up over 6 at this point, but, you know, 2 inches on Tuesday night, we really weren't looking for. Up until that point, we felt great about everything. But, yeah, our corn's coming up that was planted 3 weeks ago. The stuff that was 2 weeks ago is most of it spiking or right there. So I think we're going to be all right on most of this stuff.
I bet your farmer friends have been watching closely in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. You know, everyone's, like I told people, everyone was scrutinizing, planting, you know, whenever we were looking at the freezing temperatures coming up. And so, you know, we still went ahead with it because the ground was working like a dream. And I think that's what something that you're going to hear across the Corn Belt. Most of the producers I've talked to said it's worked as good as it's worked in several years. And so that was the case for us. When the ground is fit, we want to go ahead and throw some corn and beans out there, you know, and just kind of see what happened. And it's worked out pretty good for us so far.
What's your attention points in the marketplace for corn at this time?
You know, I think as far as corn's concerned, you go down 2 days in a row. Obviously, we struggled to start off the week, but 2 days in a row, we go down and try to test $3 front month May futures. Whenever you can't bust through that, I think a lot of folks are scratching their heads wondering if you're going to make that next leg lower. You could call it a double bottom. Regardless, though, I think moving forward, another thing we have to consider is that it's month end. And I do think there's a fair amount of profit taking going on. There's some short covering in the market today. I think some folks at the end of the month are saying, you know what, it's been a great month, but I'm going to take some of this money off the table. Could they put that money back on the table on the short side of things tomorrow? Absolutely. And so I got to be too cautious, a little bit cautious as to think that this thing's over with as far as going to the downside. Still very concerned about corn usage for ethanol. We're running 40 to 45 million bushels per week behind the pace that we need to keep. And that certainly isn't going to bode well for us if we hold that same sort of pace for very long, because, you know, bottom line, we don't want to lose a whole lot more demand. We've already lost quite a bit.
Crop progress showed that acres went in for both corn and soybeans at a really rapid pace through Sunday, and I don't know that they caught everything. The Western Corn Belt's been doing pretty well. What do you think the bean acre number will look like?
I think the bean planting progress next week is going to be robust. Corn will be as well. What's bean acres going to look like? You know, I think you'll get 85 million acres of beans. I don't know that that's all going to come at the expense of corn. If you'd asked me before I saw how good this spring was going, how much corn we'd lose, I'd have said maybe 2.5 million acres due to profitability. But typically when you see really good planting weather and you see ground working nice, you don't lose a whole lot of corn acres. So at this stage of the game, I'm going to pick up some corn acres, I think, soybean acres out of the Delta. Probably pick up some corn acres on the fringe, bean acres from corn on the fringe, and then maybe lose some corn, maybe get corn down to 95.5, soybeans up to 85, maybe 86.
Any assessment on where the market's headed?
You know, as far as where the market's headed, I'm hoping that we've carved out some lows in here. I'd like to see us build into the month of May and June, which typically we can see some good rally opportunities there. I just want to be darn ready for it and not get my sights set too high.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net and helps us wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Our ag programming comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You may find and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or if you prefer, you can use your favorite podcast applications, things like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, and even Spotify. Thanks for listening. You have a great week. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.